It has been remarked, and with validity, that New York City is, in actuality, a series of cities, a complex of separate entities, as though 100 little villages, each with its unique customs and manners, had somehow been uprooted and set down again in awkward and crowded proximity. And to walk New York streets for a mile in any direction is to violate the intricate boundaries that time and custom have imposed invisibly but nonetheless surely across the logical geometry of the streets. This was borne out recently when, in search for some hard-to-find but needed thing, I found myself on the Bowery, that long, unhappy thoroughfare whereon dwell the city's most dramatic losers. Time has not been kind to this neighborhood nor to most of its inhabitants. The very buildings themselves seem unsteady there and apologetic. There are cut-rate hardware stores, cheap clothing places, and an abundance, of course, of sad little taverns. But there is one place down there that will always have a special, if anonymous, significance. The address is 15 Bowery. Actually, it doesn't exist as a proper address anymore. It's part of a parking lot. But here, on this sterile stretch of cement, once stood a little building wherein dwelt, in impotent sadness, a still young composer of music. His name was Foster, Stephen Collins Foster. Here he lived, and in living here began to die. And no one knew, and no one cared. The very building is gone now. But the echoes, even the harsh sounds of the Bowery, can never quite drown them out. Stephen Collins Foster. He was born in a little suburb of Pittsburgh on July 4th, 1826. What forces combined to explain the music that would come later are beyond our knowing now. We can only guess. We can wonder what happened that day when, at the age of 7, a slave woman in the household took him to her church and let the boy listen to the music there.
What it looked like all this up. Keep her going. Drain the sweetness from your cup. Keep her going. See the wild birds on their wing. Hear the bell that sweetly sing. When you feel like singing, sing. Keep your chin up and keep her going.
What rustlings were set afoot that day? We can never know. We do know the memory never left him. That day long past had left its mark and was resurrected years later in this music. Young Stephen was not a good student, and it disturbed the family. His father once wrote a letter which has survived, and it tells, as well as anything, I think, the uncongenial years when all hoped that he would show a manly interest in important things, but he did not. I must regret, his father wrote, that Stephen has not been able to avail himself of the advantages of a college education. His leisure hours are all devoted to music, for which he possesses a strange talent. A strange talent indeed. Twice a week, there was a meeting at Stephen's house of young men in the neighborhood who were interested in music, on a gentleman's level, of course. And someone suggested that Stephen might write a song, a little thing that they could have fun with. Stephen could, and did. Quite unaware that with this song alone, he would have a passing acquaintance, at least, with immortality. At the prescribed time, the song was ready, a little thing that Foster called, "O Susanna." Later, he would sell this song for $100. The money, and this was one of the few times he received royalties, went quickly. But the song survived. It was carried west by the 49ers, who sang it on the long nights on the plains and in the Rockies, and finally on the very shores of the Pacific. And other songs tumbled out. Swanee River, Camptown Races, My Old Kentucky Home, and Old Black Joe. He never saw the Swanee River, by the way, but it doesn't make any difference. He caught music that had been long a building, caught it in its regional simplicity and plaintiveness, and made of it a thing universal and splendid. They know about the Swanee River now in London and Paris and Hong Kong. Know and understand. Number 15 Bowery and a cheap little hotel long since torn down. It was here he came when the story was all written out, the story and the music, or almost so. He was drinking far too much and writing hardly at all. And even what he did write lacked the exuberance and splendid honesty of the old songs. And one night, it was winter, 1864, he rose from his bed and staggered toward the little washbowl in the room. He fell, hit the basin, and a jagged piece of crockery cut his throat. A doctor was called who made hasty stitches and summoned an ambulance. But it was too late. Stephen Foster was tired. It was winter, and he was cold. And this was the Bowery. And so he died. In his purse, they found the sad remnants of what was left of his fortune. 35 cents in script, 3 pennies, and scribbled hastily on a piece of paper a title for a song that none of us will ever hear. Dear Friends and Gentle Hearts. An odd title for that place and that time. But perhaps not, really. Remember what we said? He'd never seen the Suwannee River either.